Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
So let's start with some of the stuff that you guys have been in the news related to. Actually, I think we have a follow-up on an incident you and I talked about last week, which was the standoff where the man had shot a woman and then, you know, you guys had to go in and get him. So we've got new information about this. Is that right?
Yeah, he shot her in the head, and fortunately she's going to be okay. And then he turned the gun on himself and has been in the hospital, but he has since passed away from his injuries.
Okay, so that is the update on that, which, of course, is, you know, never the ideal outcome. That's one of the things we've been talking about a lot this morning and talking about the driver training stuff is how, you know, people think that SWAT, you know, the goal is to, I mean, they probably think it's to go in and kill bad guys, and that's just the goal is to go in and save bad guys, is, you know, to protect them so they can be brought into custody and be brought to court. And, you know, but people don't think that way. Same thing with the driving. The goal is to protect life, every life. Every life is a citizen's life. So did I say any of that wrong?
No, every life, every day. That's exactly what that's what we strive to do. That's what we want to do. But things happen and things can get ugly. And unfortunately, that's just part of the world that we live in.
Right. Unfortunately. I mean, if it weren't, we wouldn't need you guys. Right. You guys could be, you know, carpenters and radio hosts, and, you know, other stuff. So
radio host. That's what I want. Yeah, that's what I'd want to be.
I put you on traffic.
No.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
You feel scared now?
No.
You know Mike would be great on traffic, though.
Oh,
right?
He would be.
That'd be excellent. You guys have been ongoing noise complaints, dealing with downtown noise, you know, people revving their engines, loud pipes, loud music, all of that, right?
Yeah, and we're still doing that. You know, if you look at downtown Pensacola over the past 10 or 15 years, and it used to be mostly commercial property down there, and now there's a lot of people that live there, and they understand when they buy in that area that there's going to be a little bit more noise, but there's a point to where it gets ridiculous, and that's vehicles and motorcycles revving engines for no reason at all. Well, scratch that. There is a reason they do it, and that's to get the attention of people. The problem with that is it also gets the attention of the police, and when that happens, then that can cost them some money. So we do have officers that are down there looking just for that, loud music, loud pipes, and citing people for that.
And know in the beginning when some of these rules got a little bit more strict, as is often the case when the rules change, you guys are in a, you know, warning period. I'm assuming that we're long past that, and if people break the law, they're just cited. Is that right?
Yeah, we're past that. We gave 30 days when this initiative began, and we're well past that.
Okay. Hey, you know what we haven't had an update on in a little while is the red light cameras. Do you have any information about that? Are we seeing any trends in the data, any trends in the behavior? I mean, anything about that you can tell us?
I don't have anything lately. I know the last time that we checked, the trend was still there. People were running red lights a lot. And we're hoping that once the word gets out that the locals, that'll go down. I mean, if we can start looking at tags, you know, if they're local tags or if they're out-of-state tags, and kind of split those up and see if the local tags are the rate of them running the lights is starting to diminish, then we're reaching a goal. And hopefully the out-of-town people, you know, there's not really lots you can do about that. Everybody knows in every city in America or in the world you're not supposed to run red lights. So we would like to see it go a lot lower than it is.
And the goal for people who might not have been following this conversation over the years we've been having it is everybody knows not to speed in Gulf Breeze, and we'd like what them to think is to not speed in Gulf Breeze and Pensacola or Pensacola, right? That would be the goal. You were asked by Channel 3 to comment about the whole issue at Wild Greg's and the behavior there that led Captain Newman on the base to ban her folks from going to Wild Greg's. But your observation, at least to Channel 3, was that basically from a calls for service perspective and for, you know, bars in general, that nothing is really special about that one location. Is that what you guys are saying, that there's, you know, a bar is a bar is a bar?
Yeah, at this point, I mean, we've had situations there at that particular location where people are saying that the bouncers or the security staff is a little heavy-handed, but we've also had that at other places too. So there's reasons that the Navy makes decisions that they do. That's something that I'm not going to get into. That's for them to speak of. But bars downtown have people that come in there and that act up at times, and then we have to go in and we have to answer calls there. So as far as calls for service go from the Pensacola Police Department, it's not any different than any other bar downtown.
Okay, very good. You know, I've been talking a lot about the driver training and the pit maneuver training that we got yesterday with the Scambia Sheriff's Office, by the way, which is a very great partnership between the Sheriff's Office and the Navy, you know, to be able to use that field, which is really part of the Navy base. People may not realize, but when you drive on there, there's all the signs and stuff. You've heard me talk about this a little bit today. Anything that you want to say from a cop's perspective that you want to add or amplify or correct me on? You know, I'm always willing to be corrected if I say anything wrong, but, you know, any thoughts, Mike?
No, I mean, we train out there as well at the same location. One thing that you probably did notice, that 35 miles an hour driving out to that location is one thing, but when you're trying to maneuver cones, when somebody has to tell you right or left at the last moment, 35 miles an hour is fast, trying to get that vehicle stopped after you make that abrupt left or right turn. That's one thing that you'll find out right off the bat.
Oh, no, couldn't agree more. The you know, somebody says, we're going to do this at 20, and you're like, duh, sure. Oh, you know, and obviously at 35, you think, 35, it's slow. Oh, and within that lane and not hitting that cone and not bumping a car, you know, like all that stuff. No, I absolutely agree with that. Mike, we always like to, you know, end with a did you know or, you know, cop myth. You have one for me this week?
Yeah, it's a did you know, and what it's about this time is actually what I'm doing and what public information officers doing, why it's so important to speak and to communicate with the people that you serve. But back when I did this the first time up in the Nashville market, there was no social media, so I had pretty much all day to figure out what I was going to say and when I was going to say it, because the first newscast wasn't until 5 p.m. Social media changed everything. So it's very important for us to communicate with the people that we serve when something major happens, to make sure that they understand what's real and what's not real. Because if with the social media, the truth a lie can circle the globe three times before the truth has a chance to put its pants on. And misinformation and disinformation is what keeps us up at night. We want to make sure that the people that we serve know what the truth is, where to go to get that truth, and get reliable information instead of rumors that are on the internet that can be detrimental.
You know, we were talking about this a lot yesterday because of the school district in Santa Rosa County with regards to Gulf Breeze Elementary, the aforementioned Wild Greggs, and them kind of not saying anything at all about this particular case. And, you know, all kinds of examples abound. And I used you as an example. I said, Mike always does it well. He always gets into the, you know, gets out in front of the story, gets out and gives us as much information as he can, as quickly as he can. I remember a couple of very high-profile incidents where I'm so glad you did, because if you hadn't spoken quickly, as soon as FDLE gets involved, you know, you can't talk anymore about stuff after that. And, you know, we would have been without any information. And in the vacuum, all of the myths and the errors abound, right?
Yeah, if you don't talk, somebody's going to talk for you. So I understand part of the job is to understand how the media works. They've got a job to do. They've got information they need to put out. And if I don't give it to them, or the PIO at any organization doesn't give it to them, they're going to find it somewhere else. And that's what scares me. So I want the information to come from a reliable source straight to the media so they can get that information out.
And, you know, I don't mean this to be like the praise Mike Wood segment, but you deserve it, because one of the things I've learned over the years of working with you is that here's just the truth, okay? There are some people who are in communications, and I can learn to work through them because they're fantastic. You are one of those people. And there's some people in communications I have to learn to work around them because it feels like they're there to be in the way and to prevent information flow. And that's sad, because what I so appreciate about you is that, you know, if I ask, you are right on it. And, you know, anytime you call, you're always there to answer. I know that's sometimes inconvenient, but you really get that. And the reason I say this is because you train other law enforcement officers in the state on communications and crises and, you know, learning from bad mistakes, learning from errors and omissions. But that's not something just for law enforcement. That's something in general, but especially these days. post George Floyd, post Ferguson, you know, communication for law enforcement is vital, right?
Yeah, and what you were saying earlier, it's not me. It's good training. This is not something that I came up with. It's getting good training to understand how things work, and to tell new people, new PIOs, this is, you know, you don't deal with the news media. You work with the news media, and you've got people want to know what's going on, especially in a situation if you have a mass shooting at a school. You've got some panicked parents. They need to know right now what's going on. And we might not be able to tell you everything because we simply don't know. It's a fluid situation. But what we can do is tell you what we do know. We do know that there was a shooting. We do know where it was. We do know that the suspect is either dead, in custody, or left the scene. That information I can get out. And I'd like to go before and start getting information out to the people that we serve within the first 20 or 30 minutes, if possible.
And including if there's been mistakes made. The hardest thing I know for people is to acknowledge the bad stuff, but you know, that's where your credibility lies, is in, you know, saying the stuff that people want to know that you're reluctant to say. That's usually the stuff that's most important to say, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we're human beings. We're going to make mistakes, and the best thing to do is acknowledge that, because if you don't, then the story's going to last 4 or 5 days when you could have taken care of it in 2 hours.
Absolutely. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you so much for being, honestly, genuinely, a great example of communications professionalism, for being such a good friend, and also giving us great information when we talk to you every week. I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you again next Thursday. Oh, and
okay, thank you.
And by the way, I will probably never again, and I have not ever to this point, ever accused you of a lie. I am going to accuse you of a lie.
Okay, bring it on.
You said it's not you, it's all the training. Sir, it's you. And the training. It's both. It's you. You do it differently and better, and I appreciate that. And I know a cop loves nothing more than to get praised, right?
Yeah. Well, look, I didn't know a thing. I didn't know what I was doing. I got trained, and that's all there is to it. It's not me.
Fair enough. Whatever. Mike, thank you so much for the time. I'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Fair enough. Whatever. 5:21 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Friday. The reason we're playing an interview in the odd spot, I couldn't find my car keys. I'm leaving my house. I'm like, I can't find. And then, you know, you start to go crazy. You're like, what? How could they're always in? And where was I last night? Where did I go and I found them, but I was, you know, called John and said, hey, John, we're just going to play Mike a little early today. So.
Right. And you're getting older, son.
No.
You don't even know where you put your keys.
No, what happened is we have electronic collars, you know, to discourage barking. They just make a noise on the dogs.
Okay.
And I had them in my hand coming in the house last night after the walk. And I was undoing the collars and undoing the leashes and putting it all, and I put it all together. Well, the collars and the leashes are black and silver. The car keys are black and silver, and I just didn't realize I had put them all there, so they weren't anywhere to see unless I think, oh, yeah, that's where I dropped them by accident. So
I'm going to have to get you one of those things that you can just ping it.
No.
Yep.
Yeah,
oh,
no.
Yes.
No, because you're going to try to get me your stupid AirPods or AirTags or Air, like, iCult, whatever material you're going to try to sell on me. So.
But it works.
So if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years young, low miles, great condition, 10 to maybe 40,000 miles, something like that is really what they specialize in, their sweet spot. Cars that are, you know, I say A condition because like ABCD, like, you know, they go to auctions and they see a lot of cars in C and D condition and they only buy A's. Because they want cars they can stand behind. They want cars they know you can count on. And then when you drive them for a bunch of time. And then you come back and you need the next car. And they come to them and get another car that you can drive for a bunch of time. That's why Dave Ramsey recommends them. That's why I recommend them. They get how people generally don't enjoy the car buying process. And they want to make it as least unpleasant as they possibly can. And they do make it really easy. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell him Andrew McKay forgot his car keys. And he says hi.
Saturday, August 16th, come to the Sneak Peek Land Sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50 plus acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. That's right, get 20 to 50 plus acres in Baldwin County from just $139.9 with excellent financing available. Ranches at Creekside Preserve features private large acreage tracts with beautiful woodlands, rolling meadows, and a peaceful creek, all surrounded by pristine natural beauty and abundant Good Wildlife. It's your opportunity to live in Baldwin County, Alabama, one of the fastest growing coastal counties in the U.S. due to low taxes and a low cost of living. Don't miss out. Come to the Sneak Peek Land Sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50 plus acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. Call 877-888-1415 or visit CreeksidePreserveAL.com. CreeksidePreserveAL.com.
Sometimes an identity threat is a ring of professional hackers. And sometimes it's an overworked accountant who forgot to encrypt their connection while sending bank details.
I need a coffee.
And you need LifeLock, because your info is in endless places. It only takes one mistake to expose you to identity theft. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Why make trillions when we could make billions?
What do you mean the cords have to be connected in order to work? God.
I know,
John,
Andrew.
Just all this unfair, unreasonable expectations you're putting on me today. Just
goodness gracious. I am so sorry.
527. You know, we're like, what I sometimes like to say is live radio, there's going to be mistakes. That's how you know it's live, right? That's how you know it's
exactly.
If it were flawless, it'd be Memorex. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Digital.
Or lip synced, you know.
Well, yeah. If
we can do lip synced radio.
Yes, let's do it. If mistakes are the barometer for live, I'm the livest of us all.
No, we're all in good company here.
Yeah. President Trump has ordered the Commerce Department to start work on a new census. Of course, all the big announcements are made on Truth Social these days, so that's where this one was announced. The president also said people who are in the country illegally will not be counted. The census, of course, used to determine congressional representation. The next one was scheduled for 2030. The Israeli Security Cabinet has signed off on a full military takeover of the Gaza Strip. The office of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that a majority of the Security Cabinet backed the proposal early Friday to begin the gradual military takeover, beginning with Gaza City. And the Air Force is reportedly denying early retirement to transgender service members, requiring them to quit or face forced separation with no benefits. That's at least according to a Reuters report. However, those with more than 18 years of service are being approved still for early retirement.
Yeah, it's a really interesting story. First of all, it's a very small number of people. I think the number I saw was like 12. I mean, it's a really small number of people. But it's people who have been in the military 15 to 18 years. And at that point, apparently they can apply for an exemption to retire early because 20 is normal retirement. And so what the military is now saying, what Pete Buttigieg is, or not Pete Buttigieg, sorry, what Pete Hegseth, transgressions is in my brain. Trust me, it's coming. But what he's saying is that we're not going to allow you the exemption, which previously you thought you might be able to get because we're changing the rules and you can't stay in the military and you can't also get early retirement. But they can get severance. They do get severance. They just don't get they don't get an entitlement to something more than they're actually entitled to. That's the way the story really works out. David, what was your first one? Because there was a note on your first one I wanted to make, too.
Let's see.
It was before Israel.
The new census.
Yeah, the new census. That's right. This is actually a really interesting problem because, first of all, the president is not in charge of this. This is, you know, Congress makes these decisions. But there's no plausible way you could do a 2026 census and redistrict in time for the elections next year. I don't know what he's – because that would have been kind of the idea is, you know, let's get a new census. Let's not count these people who are here illegally, which would punish blue states in the representation. But the possibility of doing that is, I think, impractical. But also the Supreme Court, you know, has kind of previously said – hey, I don't know about this. You can't really, you can't do exactly what you want to do here. So another kind of complicated subject, which if you really think about it, should we be counting people who are here illegally or not? I mean, states depend on the money to fund the services that those people cost, but should they have them in the first place?
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Daily double of deadlines today. President Trump wants Russian President Putin to get to the peace table. Fox's Madeline Rivera.
Sources familiar with the negotiations tell Fox that a Trump-Putin summit was in the works as early as this coming Monday. Putin floated the idea of meeting at the United Arab Emirates. The summit, though, fell apart because Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky tells the U.S. he won't be able to concede any territory in a peace deal with Russia. Only the Ukrainian parliament can do that.
If Putin does not agree, Russia expected to be slammed with harsher economic sanctions. Closer to home, in Texas, state Democrats who left the state to stop a vote on new congressional map must return by today.
If they are not there today, we are going to file a motion to remove some of these legislators from office.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton earlier on Fox and Friends First. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is partly cloudy, 75 degrees this morning. We'll get more in our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Escambia County has approved a $200,000 settlement in a case over a century woman that died in the Escambia County Jail. The lawsuit said that the century woman died in the jail in 2021, was not given necessary diabetes medications, and also that she wasn't properly screened by intake for special needs when she was booked into the facility. The family said the jail was partially responsible for Aaliyah Wardell's death. County commissioners approved a $200,000 settlement in the case that will absolve the county on all allegations. A Honduran man has been sentenced to 15 years in prison for a fatal DUI crash on Gonzalez Street last July. 21-year-old Walter Sarmiento Perdomo was sentenced after pleading guilty to DUI manslaughter. His driver's license was also revoked for life. He'll be held for ICE when he's released from prison. The night of the crash, Perdomo drove off the road and hit a tree. His passenger died at the scene. He was also critically injured. Officials said his blood alcohol level was more than twice the legal limit. Well, Pensacola State College held a ceremony yesterday to recognize veterans and military members, and especially their students and staff that have received a Purple Heart, an award only given to those who were wounded or killed in combat.
The significance of being recognized as such means that the college pays tribute to those that have sacrificed in battle, as well as the family members that have had loved ones that not only received the Purple Heart, but also died in the service as a result of wounds they received.
That's PSC President Ed Meadows, who says that recognizing veterans is special to him coming from a military family. Meadows' father was a career soldier in the Army. He says his uncle was also a Purple Heart recipient, and his son serves in the Army as well. The ceremony was held on campus at Broxton Hall. Now, the latest numbers show more than 2,200 households in Pensacola have opted into the city's recycling program. Officials say the service is also caught up now on pickups throughout the city. The recycling service did have a challenging introduction as they were dealing with the staffing shortages and initially got behind. Many residents also said they didn't get the memo when trash switched from a twice per week pickup. But officials now say that everything is on schedule and caught up. The city's collected over 24,000 pounds of recycling and so far around a 6% contamination rate, much lower than the 50% reported when the city last ran the recycling program in 2023. Ashley Moody says she supports the White House's efforts to arrest Venezuela's president. Attorney General Pam Bondi announced yesterday that the U.S. is offering a $50 million reward for information leading to the arrest of Nicolas Maduro. Senator Moody said Maduro is trying to flood our country with drugs and terrorize the people of Venezuela. She said the reward makes clear the Trump administration will hold Maduro accountable. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. 20% chance of a stray shower today, otherwise partly cloudy skies with a high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. Going into Saturday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 77. For Sunday, 50% chance of rain, high near 90 and a low near 76. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 75, partly cloudy right now. Our next news at 6, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. SoftBank Group shares rallied for a fourth straight session, having closed at a record high before its earnings release. The Japanese giant announced that the value of its vision funds rose to $4.8 billion, its largest gain since the June quarter of 2021. The launch of an Instagram feature that details users' geolocation data has elicited backlash from social media users online. Meta debuted the Instagram Maps tool earlier this week, pitching the feature as a way to stay up to date with friends by letting users share their last active location. Although Meta said in a blog post that the feature's location sharing is off unless you opt in, several social media users said in a post that they are worried that is not the case. Block shares jumped 6% after the fintech company increased its forecast for the year. Revenue fell close to 2% from nearly $6.2 billion a year earlier. Block said gross profit rose 14% from a year earlier, beating analyst estimates. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite band. This week, the Yardlights take the stage, a three-piece folk rock band from the Florida Panhandle whose members bring many years of writing, recording, and live shows to its forte. Don't miss the Gulfside Market, and Pensacola State College will be on site. Bands on the Beach, 7 o'clock with the Yardlights on Tuesday night.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
So before we proceed through the agenda, I really want to briefly comment on the news of the recent arrest of our Gulfbreeze student, former Gulfbreeze student. And we understand why some of our families have expressed concerns regarding safety, and I want you to know we truly do hear those concerns, and we understand why many of you have those feelings of anxiety and concerns. Also know that there are many families and others in the community with questions about the arrest.
Yeah, Karen Barber, superintendent of Santa Rosa Schools, addressing the Matthew McChesney and the assistant superintendent, his mom, assistant principal at Gulf Breeze Elementary, who is on leave now in connection with all of this stuff. Had a very long prepared statement, and I thought it was worth replaying most of it because at the meeting yesterday, they were talking about a lot of other things, including the fireworks issue at Pace High and, you know, kind of what... I think they've resolved this. If they're going to let basically private individuals do it on the property adjoining is kind of going to be the solution. But, you know, people were pretty upset about all of that as well. But anyway, back to Karen Barber with her statement yesterday.
I'd like to reiterate the information shared by Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson in an interview he did with WEAR on August 5th. And I quote, "We get this a lot. They say, well, you started this investigation back in February. Well, because of all these images and things on the phone and computer, sometimes it does take months before you get them all done until you can actually arrest or convict somebody," end quote.
Yeah, and a lot of times investigations turn out to be nothing. A lot of times they turn out to be something. But there's been some pushback on this, the criticism being that they knew pretty early or even immediately that they had what they that they had enough to make some kind of an action, maybe not a, you know, a legal action like a charge, but maybe enough to inform people that, you know, and to prevent him from doing the walk through the elementary school. That's kind of the idea here. Anyway, Karen Barber continues.
Importantly, Santa Rosa County District Administration was not involved in the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's ongoing and thorough investigation beyond the initial notification that law enforcement was going to interview the student on campus. The district was not kept apprised of any additional information.
Which, if they don't know, they don't know. Of course, that's the point.
District administration became aware of the arrest and the details of the charges on Friday, August 1st.
And that's not... back in July, that's not in May, that is very, very recently, and of course she immediately started the investigation.
As of today, this is what I can tell you. After reviewing the details of the charges and the arrests on Monday, August 4th, the district initiated immediately an official investigation of the circumstances to determine what actions are necessary. We've already been in discussions with the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, and I can assure you that the district will continue to cooperate fully with law enforcement and prioritize the safety and the well-being of our students, staff, and visitors on our campus.
So, I mean, she's, if you can't say more, and I don't know whether she can't say more, I'm assuming Dr. Barber, and I know her very well. She's a fine woman, very capable, competent. I'm assuming that if she could say more, she would say more, but she says she's saying everything she can, and she's trying, you know, if you feel like you can't say the real things that you want to say, then you have to say as much as you can. But, of course, that's frustrating to people who want to know more. I still think there could have been, I don't know, more empathy is not really the right word I want. But just I get you're outraged, you know. I get that. I understand. And I probably would be if I were in your shoes, too. But you just have to trust us. You know, we're doing what we can. Well, you know, sometimes it's a matter of how you say a thing. You know, if you're talking to upset people, you've got to kind of pace their emotion a little bit and show that you are agitated like they are, or at least get their agitation. And sometimes, you know, the calm leader, what you actually need is the kind of the upset leader. Just a little bit. You know what I mean? It's a tone matter, but I get how that's true, too.
Because this is an ongoing investigation and an open district investigation, we cannot provide any additional comments at this time. But I can tell you that we are listening. I read the PNJ article that came out and listened to the, or read the comments of and questions of some of the parents who were interviewed. And I understand, and those are valid questions.
See, I mean, she's saying the right things, right? I mean, she's validating the concerns, the questions, she gets it. Again, I think it's maybe just a little matter of tone at this point, but again, we'll see.
To continue to be as available and transparent as possible, I've scheduled office hours from 8 to 4 tomorrow for parents to meet with me one-on-one.
That'd be today, 8 to 4 today.
Or families and me. On Monday, I'll have the same amount of office hours. Pretty much all the appointments are filled for Friday. There are still some times available for Monday.
So she's working on that.
I want to make sure I am able to rebuild some confidence and trust where that may have been lost over this unfortunate situation, terrible situation. I want to be able to listen and provide the information that I can, understanding that it may still be frustrating for families because I'm limited as to what I can legally say.
And then the end of her statement had what I thought was, it was a little bit of an odd note. And so we'll talk about this for a second. But again, this is, you know, Karen Barber, superintendent of Santa Rosa County Schools, addressing the matter of this man being charged with possession of child sexual abuse material. CSAM is what it's the acronym, who is the son of the former, now on leave, assistant superintendent at Gulf Breeze Elementary, and then was allowed to do a walkthrough at that school, as the seniors do when they're graduating, even though that was a couple of months after this investigation had opened, and the presumption would be that the mom would know the nature of the charges and would know about the problem and why was he allowed to go walk through the school. And that's what she's reacting to, the community being very upset about all of this, right, and wondering about their own kids' safety and security and the judgment of the assistant principal, all matters that have led to them signing a petition with well over 1,000 signatures, complaining about her, asking her to be removed.
We will have additional security on campus. And, of course, we have our single point of entry. We only allow families in when they show that ID. And so we will continue to have enhanced security on campuses and make sure that we're following all of our safety protocols. Thank you.
Why would you need enhanced security on campus? I don't know the answer to that. My one thought is maybe because family members are showing up at school in the wake of this, but the school's out, right? School starts Monday. So, or maybe they're worried that parents are going to try to come in, and
that's,
you know,
what
hand
I'm
walk their kids to class or something,
right,
like that. And so they're saying you can't do that. I wish I would have rather had her say that specifically, you know, hey, on Monday, people might be thinking that they can do this and you can't do that. School starts, it's, you know, but so I don't know. I'm assuming it was something fairly innocuous like that and not, I don't know, a worry about security, because, you know, kid security is kid security. It's always a 100% question, right? You're always trying to keep the kids secure. And then right at the end when she was done.
And now we will have Ms. Timmons.
Trying to move on to other matters.
This is public comment time now, Mr. Cooey.
Jerry Cooey tries to get up and speak, you know, because Jerry always thinks it's his turn to speak. And he tries to get up and speak, and she's like, not now, sir, sit down. And when they got to the public comments at the end, which one of the people there criticized them for, you know, we have all of these people who are here that are worked up about the fireworks, and you had to wait through 2 hours of a meeting or an hour and a half of the meeting to get to the end. I would say the same thing about this issue. You know, I think making people wait till the end of the meeting for public comment is not the ideal practice. In fact, I'm trying to think, all of the other bodies, if I'm not mistaken, have a chance for people to speak in the beginning, and they usually have some kind of a time limit, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, whatever. And then if they still are unsatisfied, they can come back and speak at the end. And so I don't think it's the ideal to make people wait all the way until the end, especially if there's something of high note. And that's what he was getting at. And he was talking about the fireworks, and he says, you know, look, you know, we're here for this. Why are you making us wait through 2 hours of you talking about a charter school that only has 2 students in the entire county and is a statewide thing, and they've got a failing grade? We don't care about that. We care about the fireworks. So anyway, sit down, Jerry Cooey, she says. And he did not speak in the forum later, so he must have gone out and hung around with the fireworks people. I don't know exactly. But then a couple of parents, and the one who was the most worked up about this was, if I mispronounce her name, I'm sorry. She said, I thought Kyle Connolly was her name. Anyway, I'll have audio from her for later on in the show. But Laura Dane was another mom who has 2 daughters, one at Gulf Breeze Elementary and Gulf Breeze Middle. And basically, she was the very calm one. Kyle Connolly was very worked up, and understandably so. You know, having 2 kids at GBE and 1 at Gulf Breeze Middle, you know, and very frustrated by all this.
I believe that we can all admit that what happened with Matthew McChesney was wrong.
and that he should not have been allowed access to an elementary school, or at least I hope we are all in agreement on that, because I believe that that is the best interest of the children that were in that elementary school that day.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody is suspected, investigated, maybe not yet arrested, but, you know, for this particular kind of behavior, I mean, they shouldn't be around the elementary school kids, right? That is common sense. If you had a teacher who was suspected of this stuff, they'd be on leave, right? They'd be nowhere near the kids. So why would you have high schoolers in that position of having access to the elementary school? I get that it puts you in an awkward place of how do you explain that they're not participating, but, you know, they shouldn't be participating, which is what the parents are saying.
First of all, thank you for investigating Kimberly McChesney's part in all of that and her knowledge of what her son had been doing prior to allowing him to walk through my daughter's school. I believe she prioritized her son's experience and her own reputation over the safety of our children, and in doing so, damaged the trust of the parents.
Yeah, the most plausible explanation is that she thought, well, this is going to amount to nothing. He's not going to get charged. He's not going to get convicted. It's all going to go away. And since it's all going to go away, we can pretend it didn't happen and we can just keep it quiet. As misguided as that may be, I think we can all understand that a parent, it's a very normal thing to think that way because, you know, what you want for your problems is for them to disappear. That does not justify the decision to act as if they'll disappear. That does not justify the decision to let him go ahead and walk in the school. I'm just saying you can all understand how that's a normal reaction, maybe not a healthy one, but a normal one. But then, of course, it doesn't make for a good decision about letting him participate, right? Which is their complaint as well. So we'll see what more comes of it. There was no follow-up. There was one more person who was very upset. I told you, I'll play those clips for you later. There was no follow-up explanation. There was no response from, you know, Karen Barber in the meeting. She's meeting with parents today and on Monday, as you heard her say. Personally, at this point, I don't really expect a lot more information to come out. But, yeah, you know, we'll see. 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying a home, selling a home, picking up a, vacation rental, long-term rental, you know, switching from the beach to the city or from the city to the country or from the country to the beach because they're shuffling all around. Look, your kids have moved out and you want to downsize. Maybe you're tired of mowing a lawn. You want to get a condo. Maybe you want to upsize because you got kids coming. I mean, everybody's at a different point in their life. Well, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty sell a lot of homes, 165 last year. So every week they're selling 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 homes. Next week, 1, 2, 3, 4 homes. You know, like they just sell a lot of homes. And what that breeds is competence and muscle memory and finding the problems before they're problems and solving them before they become problems and getting you all the way through to closing and just doing whatever it takes to get deals done because, you know, they know that's what you want. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Veris Health Partners knows there are plenty of options when it comes to insurance. Owners Pam and Keith Giles will help guide you to choose the best plans for you and your family. As a veteran-owned independent health and life agency in Pensacola, their clients range from moms and dads on Medicare to individuals, families, business owners, and veterans who are looking for answers. They are researchers, educators, and advocates who take pride in guiding clients to become smart healthcare shoppers. Contact them at verishp.com. Veris Health Partners.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone.
In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You remember when we were talking about the Mercedes that makes the sounds of the old classic C line of Mercedes, the revving of the engine, you know, the electric Mercedes, the next generation that they're building right now. And we had people start texting us in about what they want their cars to sound like. Because if you can program a sound, you can program any sound. I mean, your car can become an instrument, essentially, right? And so they were, we had people wanted to be the Flintstones sounds, you know, the thudding of the feet running, or they wanted to be the Jetsons sounds, you know. I mean, that'd be an F-18 sounds. I mean, that'd be fun. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be.
You're revving your engine at the red light, and it's, you know, it just.
Afterburners. Right.
Smoke on. All right. I know. David Wayne.
I would do that, too. Smoke on.
You know, you could have Harley sounds. I mean, once you make it possible, it could be anything. So David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You're really opening a whole world of possibilities here.
I'm telling you, I think this product is coming.
That's the only thing that could get me to buy an electric vehicle,
If they can make it sound like a jet engine?
Well, no, it's to have the programmable sound. I would love to have the Jetsons sound.
Right?
When you played that, that took me back.
The Jetsons
painted a false picture of what to expect when I was an adult.
I think
I'm
everything is. I don't know what year the Jetsons
were
set in, but...
I mean, the Jetsons, was that an electric vehicle?
Well, it had emissions, so I guess no.
I was just kind of curious.
Exactly. It was cool looking and sounding.
They never went into the engine. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, just
never
more.
Stopped for gas.
I mean, we know that the Flintstones engine, by contrast, was, you know, manpower.
It was pedal power.
A little bit primitive.
Foot power, right.
On that. Well, the man accused of attempting to assassinate President Trump heads to court today for a pretrial conference, Ryan Ruth. Apparently, he's representing himself after a judge granted that request. Prosecutors say Ruth staked out Trump for 12 hours with a rifle at his golf course last September. He has pleaded not guilty on all charges. The U.S. Marshals Service is offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of Michael Brown. That's the man accused of killing four people in a bar in Montana. It's been a week since the deadly shooting at the Owl Bar in Anaconda. And Sean Diddy Combs may be requesting home confinement instead of prison time after his conviction. His lawyer tells TMZ that Combs wants therapy for anger and substance abuse, and he believes those services may not be available in prison. He's facing potentially up to 5 years when he's sentenced in October.
I'd like to acknowledge the not quite elephant in the room, but if we go back a story, you said that it took place. It's a serious story. It's a painful story. But you said it took place in where?
The Owl Bar in Anaconda. Like big butts, and I cannot
lie. You other brothers can't deny. Yeah, there's only one thing anybody thinks from my generation when they hear that word.
What's going on?
All right, David. Thanks so much for this. Hey, you know, I just like to acknowledge the obvious that when you say Anaconda, all the 80s kids are singing the song.
Yep.
So
I agree.
4-3-7-16-20 Oh, this is an unfortunate thing. Have you seen the trouble that the WNBA is having with its fans?
Yes. something about products on the field.
Yeah. So, you know, you're not supposed to throw stuff on the field to play on the court. Yeah. You're not supposed to throw stuff on the court. Okay. For any sport. It's dangerous for the players. It's dangerous for, you know, okay. In this case, a few people have decided that it would be a funny prank to throw, let's say, cucumber-shaped silicone prosthetics.
Adult toy.
That's right. Yeah. Onto the court. And it's, like, happening at every game. Mm-hmm. And this is not like Chuck-a-Puck. This is not like 1,000 of them, but one is enough, okay? And apparently the problem is that security can't really thwart this.
I can't believe we're talking about this,
but this is a real thing that's happening. If you go through a metal detector and what you've got is one of these devices, it's not really a device. It's just an object that doesn't have any metal in it. So a metal detector isn't going to detect it. And so you'd have to do like pat downs and bag searches.
TSA.
You'd have to full.
Full body scan, baby.
Anyway, so. Yeah, the players are frustrated. The league is frustrated. As one player said, everyone is trying to make sure I guess that's what they call the WNBA because it's a long name. Everyone's trying to make sure the W is not a joke and is taken seriously, and then that happens. Yeah. I mean, you know, what else can you say? until somebody gets hit in the face with it, you know, and then it's going to be bad, right? It's, I mean, it's a real danger to the players. It's a little weird and funny, and it doesn't happen in the men's sports. Maybe there will be some reciprocal, comparable bad behavior.
Hopefully it's still in the package.
We'll be back in a minute.
Local Talk in the morning, 5 to 10.